Hello and welcome to Label Sessions Presents, the podcast where we talk to the most interesting people about all the things you need to know over the next 100 days, from innovation to business design, tech and culture. I'm Fuzan Esau, and today we're joined by four brand new additions to the Label Sessions roster, as well as Josh Nixon from the Label Sessions team. Hello, everyone. Big welcome to Matt Warman, the strategist who gets tech, politics, and people in one room. Matt is the rare operator who can explain AI to a board, unblock digital policy, and still make it make sense to the public. A former MP and tech editor, he's spent two decades turning complex systems into progress that actually sticks. Then hello to Stephen Sidlow, the media innovator who builds the story and the system. Stephen makes sci-fi sound real because he builds the team, the tech, and the traction to back it up. From flying car racing to defense startups, he's the architect behind future brands that break through. And then a big hello to Yenika Kaliala, the strategist brands call when they know it's not working, but they can't quite figure out why. Yenika repositions underperforming brands with precision and pace, aligning global teams around what really matters and delivering commercial lift that sticks. And then finally, a big welcome to Bill Freemuth, the visionary who reinvented the Grammys. Radical reform meets creative cool. Bill transformed the Grammys from old god institution into a modern cultural force. And he's just getting started, from what it sounds like. So AI-enhanced music appeared in the Grammy nominations as recent as last year. And right now we have AI-generated songs topping some country music charts in the US. When the very human artist Addison Rae thanked her fans for her own Grammy nomination this week on Instagram, it seemed to include a ChatGPT prompt. So what's that? What are the limits of art and AI? Should we keep the two separate, or should we embrace the possibilities of a new creative medium, a new creative future? Does it matter if the word and sounds of your favorite artist come straight from their mind or via an LLM?
First of all, several years ago, maybe 10 years ago, there was a company called Zenph, Z-E-N-P-H, who created a way where you can feed a recording into this software and it would make a piano play that work exactly as it was on the recording. So they're taking, you know, old Art Tatum recordings that were all scratchy and all, and actually replaying them. They called it re-performance on a new piano. And that really started the discussion at the Grammy Awards of, you know, what do we do with something like that? They wanted to enter it in performance categories, but the performer was actually software. So we created rules that said at that time saying that a Grammy can only go to a human being, and that we enabled that recording to be eligible in the engineering categories because there were human engineers setting up microphones and mixing and mastering the recording. I still believe that that's the way to go, that, you know, an award should go to a human being. But I think it's also very interesting. I think it's kind of a comment on current mainstream music that AI can make a song that goes to the top of the country charts. 20 years and more ago, the people who were out discovering music for labels were going to shows, and they were, you know, they would go to see a band that they, or an artist that they liked, and they would sign them, and then they would make a record. And now it's, you know, the departments that bring in new artists to labels are data miners. You know, they're simply going to see how many followers on YouTube or TikTok or Spotify that the people already have, so that they're not taking much of a risk in signing a new artist. And what that has done to music in general, mainstream music, I'm talking about really pop and country and to some extent R&B, is this loop of not the, it's reinvention rather than invention. It's just if you listen to pop radio right now, it sounds an awful lot like pop radio did 20 years ago. And I don't think that you could say that about the 90s and the 70s. Regarding AI and all this, it doesn't matter to me, honestly. If the way that music is being created by committee is, it may as well be created by AI. And I think that the music, the creative community, needs to really, try to break out of that mold in some way. And that's an incredibly difficult thing to do because the machine is very fixed in the way that it is right now.
Sort of making the it's the curse of AI sameness. Sort of everything starts to sound the same, people start to sound the same on posts, images start to look the same.
Well,
So
because
it's
it's only learning out of existing music, right? It's these LLMs. It has to exist before they take it in to learn it. They're not I innovating in that way.
No, I was just going to say, like, in the same vein that you said about it all sounding generic, a lot of music might sound similar because there are, artists in the same genre. Now, whether or not that would, depend on do they use the same songwriter, for example, or do they use, the same label. So there are differences that already come into play. And I think if I look at AI in terms of music, there's a big element, like Bill mentioned, about the experiential side. Like, do you go to a concert? Do you see the band live? Is that, that won't be possible if it's AI generated, because that part of the experience is missing. If you're looking purely for a track that fits a certain type of mood or feeling, or it works, then that's different, but you're missing the actual in-person experience. So it's a bit like you look at luxury brands, for example. You could have very expensive fashion or jewelry items done by a big known well-known label, and people pay for that, even if they can get something very similar, out of China on the replica market, but it's not the same thing. So I think there will always be demand for the full authentic experience, whether that's in music or art or, fashion, that people are willing to pay for, because that stands out. And there will always be the mass production versions that are similar, but not truly as distinctive.
Yeah, just to add to that, I mean, yeah, music has been copied and shared and remixed for millennia. And there's going to be no difference here. There's so much manufactured music anyway. I think there's not many bands in the charts, so the authenticity is kind of diminishing in somewhat, regardless of AI. That's just on a personal opinion anyway. But to answer, I guess, your original question, yeah, I think if you had one Addison Rae create using AI, it's less of a problem than AI creating 1,000 Addison Rays, in a sense, because if AI was just going to be churning out thousands and thousands upon thousands of artists a month, people will naturally gravitate towards authenticity again. And I think you'll see that anyway, regardless of that anyway, where people will just clamor for that spit and sawdust live band experience because it's been oversaturated. So I'm less worried. I think it's going to be a help, not a hindrance, and that ultimately humans will always gravitate towards the authenticity of the art.
Yeah, I think that's right. I'm always wary in conversations like this that, of course, humans would tell themselves that humans are essential. There's no reason for AI. There's no reason for humans not to start playing music written by AI live in concert. But I do think there is something sort of
We the band on the Titanic playing
exactly.
the
Exactly. But I think in reality, of course, people are right, is that creativity right now sits with human beings, and that's where it's likely to persist. And I think where we are, where everyone's been right, is that right now AI is a prediction engine based on what's already out there in most effective implementations, which is why it's not perfect and why it doesn't fit into lots of places. I think if you add several bits together, then you can see it getting much more creative, because actually new music only comes from people listening to old music and having their own thoughts. So let's not get too complacent about this, but I do think from a sort of gut instinct point of view, then artificial general intelligence, or whatever you want to call it, has been the thing that's coming imminently for quite a little while now. So we've maybe got a few years yet.
It says maybe AI is the trendy auto tune of America.
Really, in many ways,
It basically is.
advancement of attitude. I mean, I one of the things that Stephen said really reminded me also that right when I had started at the Grammys, there were all these discussions of should we allow people to use samples and consider it a new song? And there were, it was very heated discussions about that. I mean, it sounds silly now because everybody uses samples all the time. But at that point, it was more innovative and it seemed more innovative. And there were these very heated discussions. And finally, there was this fellow who was a producer of classical music who spoke up and said, if Bach didn't sample Verdi, he wouldn't have gotten anywhere. And that's what really turned the tables on the whole discussion. And everybody said, well, oh, okay. Yeah, this has been going on forever. Let's acknowledge that.
Gosh, can you even imagine a world without anyone using samples? That would be...
Exactly.
The real sadness here is that because of the rule that the Grammys is set, that means that, you know, if AI actor Tilly Norwood ever wants to do the actor turned musician thing, she can't be nominated. So it's tough.
I'll make her wait an EGOT. That's one, you know. It's a good
thing. There could be a robot EGOT.
That's what we know. That's when we've jumped the shark on AI, is when there's an AI EGOT winner.